At the meeting of the session on Tuesday night last week, I announced my resignation as pastor of Montclair Presbyterian Church, effective August 1st. The next day, a letter went out to all of the members and friends of MPC with that information in it from me. I don't think it came as a particular shock to very many people. Ever since Chandler's move to Westminster Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids more than 18 months ago now, it's kind of been clear that I would be heading out at some point. The only people who may have been shocked were those who thought that Chandler's move was actually the prelude to our divorce. But rumors of our divorce have been greatly exaggerated. For the rest of your life. Yeah. But even though it's not a shock, it's a different thing to have an actual date. I know it is for me, and I'm hearing from many of you that it is for you as well. We've reached a new level of the reality of this, that our relationship as pastor and congregation will soon come to an end. So I want to talk about that reality today. To answer a few questions that come up frequently when we start talking about this, and then just to reflect on this juncture myself. So one of the questions that I am frequently asked is, what am I going to do in Michigan? And first of all, do you have a call to a church there? Or, you know, do you have a job? What are you going to? And first of all, I'm going to take a little break from working. I'm going to focus on settling in to Grand Rapids. I was born at Oakland Kaiser. I have never lived outside of California for more than a year at a time. So I want to settle in carefully to Michigan before the snow starts. And since very soon we will only be paying one mortgage, it will be doable for me to take a little bit of a break. For the past 18 months, here on my own, I have really enjoyed my friends inside and outside of the church, which I haven't had the luxury of doing so much when Chandler and I were sharing the house together and needed to spend time with each other when that opportunity arose. But it's been lovely to hang out with friends, and I want to make sure that I do that in Grand Rapids. I have an audition with the Grand Rapids Symphony Chorus in late August, so I can meet some other singers. I have located the dog park that's fairly close to our condo downtown in Grand Rapids, so I'll meet some dog people and work on having my own life there, since I will be going as pastor's wife for a little while. My palms started sweating right when I said that. But that being said, I do really look forward to attending church for a while. I want to sing in the Westminster Presbyterian Church choir. I want to be with Chandler on Sunday mornings. We haven't been together on Sunday mornings for more than 15 years. And I will start looking for a church job. I've been in conversation with the executive presbyter of Lake Michigan Presbytery about interim pastorates that may be coming up in the next year or so at churches in that presbytery, so that I can take what I've learned, especially in these past 12 years, and use that in the service of churches in transition. In the shorter term, just in these next few weeks and months, our house in Berkeley is in escrow, yay, cross your fingers. It's supposed to close on June 15th, God willing. And then the dogs and I will move in with Kathy, Ray, and Donna Carruth, and Mariah and Emma. They've been living with the dogs and me for the last 7 months, and now they have offered to make that reciprocal. And the dogs are really, really looking forward to that. I am so boring compared to what they've gotten to enjoy the last 7 months. And I'm looking forward to it, too. The conversations are marvelous. The other big question that is asked is, what happens next for MPC? So I'm going to give you a quick rundown of that, but you will be hearing much more about it in detail over the next weeks and months. At the session meeting on Tuesday night, Carl Shadley attended as the chair of the Committee on Ministry of the Presbytery of San Francisco and talked about the presbytery's role of coming alongside this church for guidance and for support through this transition. Carl, as some of you know and some of you do not, was the interim pastor who was here between Duke Robinson's tenure and when I came. He was here for about 18 months. So he knows this church, he loves this church, he understands this church. And one of the other great things about having him in that key role is that he's not a very legalistic guy. He believes that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, as the saying goes, that the rules are there to support congregations rather than to control them, that the regulations and the rules and the procedures are supposed to help churches to move through times of transition in healthy ways. So I can really see a great mutual partnership forming between this congregation and the presbytery and the Committee on Ministry, a relationship that will be flexible and responsive to what this church needs in the months to come. The first formal thing that will happen is that there will be a congregational meeting on June 27th, immediately after the service, 3 weeks from today, when the congregation will vote formally to receive my resignation, which is always kind of a weird thing to do. But anyway, it's like, are we supposed to vote yes or no? But then the two main things that will happen during the interim period between the time that I go and when the new permanent pastor is called will be to do a mission study, a congregational self-study, to see where you are and what you're looking for in new leadership, and then to form a search committee to look for the new pastor. One of the questions that's been asked several times is, can we start on the mission study now and get this ball rolling? And that was asked to Carl at the meeting the other night, and he said, really, in these next two months, you should concentrate on saying goodbye. Take these 2 months to celebrate together, to reflect on these past 12 years, to discuss what we've learned and what we've enjoyed, where the difficulties have been, what we can celebrate from these relationships, and then to bring this time to a close. A gracious close. Another question is, we did a mission study 5 years ago. Can we use that? And Carl was saying that that's a really good place to start, that there was a lot of good work done, very in-depth work, on looking at what is, looking at the past of this church, looking at this church's values, looking at this church's programs, really seeing where we're thriving and where the challenges are. So that's a good place to start. But that being said, the purpose of the mission study after a pastor leaves is to create what is called a church information form, a CIF. You should get used to these acronyms, which is a description of the church of this congregation and a description of the job for the new pastor. What the focus will be of the new pastor's work, or foci will be of the new pastor's work. And that document, both the mission study and the church information form, need to very accurately represent this congregation and what you're looking for, who you're looking for, because that helps to make a good fit. The mission study that you wrote together back in 1996 was the one that I was called with, was a wonderful document, a great representation of this church. So I knew what I was coming for, and you knew what you were looking for. I think part of the success of these past 12 years has been because of a carefully done mission study. You really want to take time to think carefully about who you are and what kind of future leadership you want, so that prospective applicants can read that and be clear. You may be a little different church now than you were when we wrote that mission study in 2005, 2006. This new sanctuary had not yet opened. You may think about our practices of worship here and what you dream of for the future. We went through some conflict and reconciliation process after that mission study was completed. You may want to think about what we've learned about the healthy functioning of a congregation and what kind of leadership you're looking for to keep that process going. The interim period is a great time to engage at that level of exploration and reflection on your life as a congregation and your future as a church. And once the mission study is completed, then you form a pastor nominating committee, or a PNC. And that group of people will then advertise the position, work the networks to find people that they want to invite to apply for this position. They'll sift through the applications and do the interviews and pray a lot and talk a lot and laugh a lot and cry a lot and choose the final candidate that they will then bring to you for your approval. And I personally think you will have lots of good people to choose from. This church has a great reputation, and it's nationwide as a healthy, progressive church. That's a good combination, and a lot of people are looking for that. So then the question is, well, what will the leadership be through this process? Particularly when I, you know, take the last dog photograph off my wall and lock the door of my office and walk out, at that point, then the session and the personnel committee will or some configuration of same will begin looking for an interim pastor, for the interim pastor who will be the main pastoral leadership through this time. The Committee on Ministry will suggest some names. You are welcome to suggest people yourselves. There are particular skills and training that are required for an interim pastor. You really look for someone who is good at analyzing organizations and churches in particular, congregations, in order to help MPC to reflect on where you are and where you want to go. And it might take a couple of months before the interim pastor is called. There's some iteration in there that needs to happen. So the question of who's in charge in the meantime, in the transition to the transition, and we discussed that at session the other night, and Lori Kendall, our clerk of session, said, as the anxiety level was rising, Lori said, hey, wait a minute, we've done this before. We did this last year when Karen was on sabbatical, and there were those 3 months when she wasn't here. And she talked about these teams of people that plan worship and the team of people who make sure that pastoral care is provided and programs are attended to and administration is attended to. And we've done this. We know how to do this. And so we have asked Leonard Nielsen to act as he did then, to act as the temporary head of staff, and he has said yes to that invitation. He will help coordinate the administration and program and pastoral care of the church. The celebration committee will work with a team of people to line up guest preachers for that time before the interim gets here. There is a team of lay leaders who know how to lead the Sunday morning worship so that guest preachers can come and just do the sermon. There is very capable leadership in this church. I can't say that often enough or strongly enough. There is very capable leadership in this church. So this interim time and the transition time is a time to have some fun, to do some exploring, to hear other voices in the pulpit, to try out different styles of worship and different ideas. I think you should get Kim to preach again. She's awesome. And you will hear more about all of these procedures as you move forward. But what I really want to affirm and want you to hear from me is that you are in great hands. You are in each other's hands. You are in the hands of the Committee on Ministry of the Presbytery, which is an excellent group of people, and you are in God's hands. That Psalm 90 is the one that has been coming to me ever since I wrote that letter on for Wednesday, where it says, oh God, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has been our dwelling place throughout time and continues to be so. And you will be in partnership with God through this process And because of that, you can be confident and calm and creative and compassionate with one another. And one other question I want to reflect on, this is one that has come to me in various forms through this past week, and Sue Davies put it quite succinctly at the Bible study the other day when I said, well, what do you think I should talk about on Sunday? And she said, we want to know if you're happy or sad about this. And the answer, of course, is yes. I am happy or sad about this at any moment, and both. I am happy and sad about this at just about all the time. When I do a memorial service, one of the first things I say is that when we gather here, we gather with profoundly mixed feelings, joyful gratitude for someone's life and sorrow at loss. That's what I feel, profoundly mixed feelings. I am really looking forward to being with Chandler again. The break was nice, I've got to say. The break was nice. It gave me a chance to get back in touch with myself as an individual after 30 years of marriage. It was a good thing to do at this point in my life. The kids are launched, Chandler's happy, this church is thriving. I could look in the mirror and say, all right, who are you again? And start to come up with some answers, new answers to that question. So that's been good. And he's had that time too, on his own, to reestablish his own sense of identity. But I am a little tired of waking up with a poodle every morning. The border collie is not real good at conversation over a glass of wine at the end of the day. So I'm looking forward to being back with Chandler. And I love new adventures. I love leaving one place and starting up in a new place. I love exploring a new town, a new city. Grand Rapids is a wonderful city. Art museum, several amazing art museums, symphony, hockey, baseball, everything. A river, woods. It's a beautiful place. Plus, I feel like I've done what I was called here to do in many ways. The mission study, the 1996 mission study, said there were four areas of growth that you wanted the new pastor to work on with you. Hospitality, to be a warmer, more welcoming church. Revitalizing the social justice ministry of the church, revitalizing Christian education for children, and exploring spirituality, whatever that is. And I'll probably talk more about those things before I go, because I think they're worth reflecting on in some detail. But also, I mean, the new sanctuary is an extraordinary thing. It is an extraordinary thing. I love this new sanctuary. And we've had a couple of years to live into it now, to start to for it to start feeling like home, for it to get seasoned like Kim's salad bowl with laughter and tears and with music and prayer and silence and candlelight and jazz and children and celebration. And this is an amazing thing that we all did together, and I am happy about that. And we raised almost $2 million. The consultants that came in to talk to us about the feasibility of even embarking on this project said, we're sure you can come up with $1.2 million, maybe $1.5 million. And we're at $1.9 million in pledges so far, which is awesome. And I'm confident that the balance will be paid off ere long. And I am happy about that. I'm proud of this church about that. And I see all these families and kids feeling welcome and included here, and I'm happy about that. And I think back to the summer or two ago when I got to perform actual legal weddings for couples who had never been legally allowed to marry before. Brandon and Bill getting married right here. Lori and Tisa, Tamara and Marilee, Kathy and Donna, Judy and Renata, Steve and Don. And I am happy that I got to do that. This is just a healthy church with a great future. And I am happy to go knowing that that is true. And it's also really hard. I love this place. And I love these people. I'm going to grab my fingers. I knew this was going to happen. You have given me so many gifts. You have encouraged me to grow as a preacher, as a leader, as a pastor, and as a friend. And together we have celebrated baptisms and funerals. You've sat in my office and shared your lives with me. I have sat at your tables and shared my life with you. We've worked side by side in committee meetings and retreats and classes and have crafted the life and ministry of this church together. And we have gathered in this sanctuary together in one configuration or another. We have gathered in this sanctuary together for more than 600 Sundays. Open-hearted, open-minded, joyfully imperfect people, hungry for the radical hospitality of God. I have had the extraordinary privilege of standing at this table, watching you come forward to receive the gift of grace in the bread and the cup. Each unique person coming forward, each uniquely beloved of God, each of you my sister, each of you my brother, and I have loved that. And that is really hard to say goodbye to. But the wonderful thing about this table is that it is the same table that stands in the sanctuary of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids, in the sanctuary of the as-yet-unknown Michigan church that I will serve next, in the sanctuary of some other church or churches that you may someday worship in, or your children may, or their children may. And when we share in this bread and this wine, wherever we are, we share it together. And it's a miracle. A miracle that reaches across the miles and across the years and even across the boundary between life and death. God is our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, God is our dwelling place. World without end. Amen.